If you're a Packers fan, would you rather see him win this season or next year? Well, this season, of course. Well, as the official proud window partners of Titletown, Pella of Wisconsin can make it so you win dough this season too. While so many others are saying, wait till next year to have your leaky, stuck, or squeaky windows and doors replaced, Pella of Wisconsin can have your new windows installed in as little as 8 weeks. Why shiver like you're in the huddle at Lambeau Field in January when you can be home all cozy and warm, surrounded by family and friends and Pella Windows. Plus, 555 is back. Get up to 5 years, no interest, in 5 months, no first payment. And if you order at your initial appointment, even up to 5% same-day order savings. Set your consultation today at PellaWI.com/radio. PellaWI.com/radio. Or call 855-PELLA-WI. 855-PELLA-WI. Certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details.
Not even a sidekick. Heck, we don't even have fancy gadgets. This is just Joe and his trusty microphone. Made in the USA. This is the regular Joe Show. 1360-97.5. WTAQ. Oh, suck it.
Well, good morning and welcome. Joe Gigante, your regular Joe, here with you. 8:40 this morning. It's a Thursday, which means, right, we're one day closer to achieving the goal, which is making it through another week. That's right. Tomorrow is Friday, the start of the weekend. We'll have our headline roundup, of course, in this, your VIP backstage soundcheck segment, followed by Open Line Friday. So start thinking. Any topic, it doesn't matter what it is. It can even be music if you want. You get to pick the topic. I, of course, will set the tone and the tempo when you call in. That's how it works each and every Friday. But here it is, Thursday, so we have a little bit of a different thing, right? In the VIP backstage soundcheck segment, going to be talking to somebody in just a moment about the ongoing challenges of education, or getting education for our children in the COVID fear-demic world. That is always and continuing to be a problem. You can be a part of our conversation by dialing 888-455-1360, 888-455-1360, or of course you can text me at 79489. Emails can be sent to regular.joe@mwcradio.com. That's the way to plug in each and every Monday through Friday as we kick it off here. And today I have joining me in studio, as a matter of fact, I always love when we have somebody that's able to join us in studio. It is, of course, radio where nobody gets to see us, but it still matters to us. Joining me right now is Jason Weed. He's a local attorney who's also a father to students at Notre Dame Academy here in Green Bay Catholic High School. And one of the, I guess, organizers would be the right word, for Live Free Wisconsin, which is an effort that parents at Notre Dame, and with full disclosure, I am one of those parents, and I did sign the letter we're about to talk about, but put together a letter addressing what we believe to be discriminatory practices happening at the school, geared really focused at kids that haven't gotten a COVID shot, and basically, you know, really kind of calling them out at a level of attention that isn't right and frankly isn't necessary. Jason, I appreciate you joining us this morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Joe. And it's great.
Steve, we need his mic. Sorry, one more time there. Go ahead, Jason.
I'm doing great, Joe, and it's good to be here. Appreciate the introduction. And actually, I do want to note that our group of parents extends beyond just Notre Dame. We've got a group of parents throughout Northeast Wisconsin. We've got several doctors, several dentists, lawyers, of course, and a lot of other just concerned parents.
We don't hold the lawyer part. No, I always make lawyer jokes. Don't mind me. But no. Hey, look, we have lawyers that are fighting for the right thing. So this is proof there are good lawyers in the world for all the people that make fun of that.
That's absolutely correct. And my favorite is the bad thing about lawyer jokes is when you tell them other people don't think that they're jokes. Lawyers don't think that they're funny.
Well, anyway, I won't even go with my lawyer jokes. So let's talk about the letter, first of all. I mean, if you will, kind of give us the foundation, the background to why this, you know, among all the parents, all the people that are part of this now with Live Free Wisconsin, what's at kind of the base foundation of the problem here?
Well, I mean, the base foundation starts at really a broader level. There's days where I think it feels to us, and I think to our kids especially, like we're under psychological assault. This constant barrage of fear and trying to pit people against one another. I'm sorry to see our own president stand up and try to pit people against one another based upon vaccine status, and for me, it's not a political issue as much as it is a moral issue. This is an issue about what's right. We're taking leads from the CDC, which I think people think is a government agency and has a lot of checks and balances.
One would hope, but it doesn't. Certainly doesn't feel like it lately.
The CDC is basically a pharmaceutical company. They own 20 patents. They bring about $4 billion a year of revenue in. They're a captured agency, captive to the industry. And frankly, I am not, and most of the parents in our group are not anti-vaxxers, as you would think of the term. All of us have had our kids shot so many times, I don't even remember.
Well, and I just want to address that this, it's kind of an absurdity, right? I mean, that anybody that suddenly doesn't want one shot or is questioning one shot, this goes to the first thing you mentioned. It's, you know, in the military, it's called PSYOPs, psychological operations. How do you break people down through words and body language and act, these kind of things? That's what we're talking. I mean, immediately you get put into a category. Whether you belong, oh, you're some far right wing Trumper that hates vaccines. What? I mean, and it's based on the fact that we're asking questions that we believe as parents, by the way, that it's ultimately our decision and it's our right to say whether or not something gets put into our kid's body. I mean, again, this is the whole reason that children have parents, right? If they could make these decisions, there would be no need for us at all.
Absolutely. And these young people have impressionable minds. They're easily manipulated in so many ways, and we know that as parents, and we try to build, you know, strong moral character in them, and they need to learn that through experience. But for them at this age to face so much pressure coming from so many different angles, we just believe that they should not face that same pressure in school. You know, we're at a private school, a Catholic school. I'm very proud to have attended there. My father attended there. My brother. I have four nephews that have gone through there. I mean, we've spent a lot of money in that school, and frankly, we like it. But our kids, while they're in school, are hearing from with emails from the school, from the school nurse, from coaches. Our kids are being told day after day, get your vaccine. Why haven't you gotten vaccinated yet? We're getting that from Prevea. I don't understand why Prevea is allowed to market in our school a vaccine to our kids. I don't understand it. It's not right. And the reason that I'm concerned about this is we don't know what the long-term effects of this vaccine or these vaccines will be. We do not know. There was a note that I read from one of the inventors, I think, of the AstraZeneca vaccine, and that was in England. But the inventor was asked, why did you guys ask for release of all liability from every country you worked with? You guys have zero liability. Why was that so important to you? And he said, well, this is a unique circumstance, and we just don't want to be on the hook in case something happens 4 or 5 years down the line.
Well, if you look at this standard procedure, and I understand why things were sped up and everything. I mean, I understand the mindset that went into that. But yet, if you look at normal situations or they approve vaccines, one of the reasons it takes 5 to 10 years is they want to actually see what happens in 5 to 10 years. I mean, they literally are watching that first batch of tests, see how those people do. And we hear people saying publicly, well, these are safe for the long term. How can anyone, I mean, literally, they're 18 months old. How in the world can you make the claim? And I don't know if it's the same person you're talking about. I don't remember. But one of the creators of the mRNA technology has been very publicly on the record saying that he thinks they've introduced these too soon. And in fact, he has stated that this may be why we're seeing variants so quickly. He thinks it's tied into the use of it. Now, again, that's his opinion, but he is the guy that created the technology. So you would think he has some insight to this. And he's not saying never do it. He's not saying we should. But just that, again, you know, again, in your haste to do something, you can create bigger problems than the ones you're trying to solve. And all I've heard from most of these people is saying, look, let's wait. Let's see. When it comes to the younger kids, let's not rush it. I mean, first of all of the studies have shown that children under age 18 have a such a vastly reduced chance of dying from this virus. There's a greater chance that they will die from the flu and from any number. Matter of fact, one doctor I spoke to pointed out that they have a 10 times greater chance of dying in a car accident on the way to school than they do from COVID-19. So again, why this full court press, like if they don't do it, they're going to die.
Well, that's absolutely it. And the problem here is that the biggest casualty is the truth with all of this.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was a famous writer from Soviet Russia. And he wrote The Gulag Archipelago, among other books. And
yes.
What he said is that we knew that our leaders were lying when they issued mandates based on, you know, maybe science or some other statement. We knew they were lying. They knew that we knew they were lying. And that is what made it so painful for us. And what it created in the Soviet citizens is an acquiescence, a resignation that all we have to do is just go along to get along. We may know that this is untrue or based on untruths, but we just need to go along to get along. And what that creates is, in the individual, a loss of their conscience. That's what it creates over time, and that's what he said. And it creates overall a culture of lies and repression and moral apathy. And that is the greatest enemy of this country, of our culture going forward, is moral apathy and apathy.
Amen.
In general. We have to pay attention. We have to look at what is going on in this world. We have to understand the agendas that are behind some of these things. We have to ask why, with the PCR test, which is basically the foundation of this whole psychological push, they had that PCR test turned up to such a sensitive level that they were turning in so many false positives, and they've admitted that now. They had it turned up to 40, 50, 60. They've admitted that it was way over and they had many false positives. They've admitted that it can't distinguish between the flu, other viruses, and COVID. So when all of the stats that they're giving us about why they should get vaccines and how many cases there are based upon faulty technology to begin with, we need to ask, what are we doing? Why are we doing this?
And why is it being reported this way? I mean, I covered yesterday four different stories from, you know, outlets in Northeast Wisconsin talking about a local hospital that said they are down to two ICU beds. And this, you know, they were kind of sounding the alarm. Now, almost, except WTAQ's news actually covered this properly and give, you know, credit where credit's due. But they are all kind of in the headlines saying, you know, it's all COVID. Well, if you read the stories, and I always tell people you got to read to the end because they tend to bury the stuff at the end, not where it should be in the front. They said that the problems are largely due to a lack of staffing. It's not physical beds. They don't have the doctors and nurses to take care of it, which also, I mean, just as a side effect, all these mandates, which people are going to leave their jobs over this. Doctors and nurses have quit or are going to leave. I think it amounts to medical malpractice to do this, where we're creating a larger problem through these mandates, where we're going to lose the people we need. We need those doctors and nurses, not just for COVID, but for all kinds of sickness. And I want to get into the letter in a moment, but I also just, I don't know if you even saw this. I'm going to get into this later in the show, but this is out of the Epic Times. It is, I mean, it's been covered everywhere. The version I have is out of the Epic Times. But there is a leaked Zoom conference call out of a medical practice in hospital. I believe it's in Texas. And literally on the Zoom call, you have a doctor talking to the marketing person saying, how can we gin these numbers up? How can we make it sound scarier? All in this effort to get people to get the shot. Now, I think it's pretty clear for, you know, medical facilities, they get paid for every one of these that they do. But, I mean, it shows you some of the fears people have. It's borne out. I mean, this isn't some made-up video. This is someone that leaked it because my understanding is the person that leaked it was outraged. They worked in the system. They saw what was going on, and they thought the world should know. And again, you talk about the kids are being marketed to. They're being asked. I know of at least one incident within Notre Dame where somebody that works at the school called a parent and informed them that they knew their child had not received the shot. That's not information that they're privy to, not in the way that they accessed it. And again, to what end? I mean, it's an outrageous thing. Now, the first point on the letter, you talk about the protocols for unvaccinated students is irrational, I would agree, discriminatory, and violates the unvaccinated students' equal protection rights as it imposes on unvaccinated people, but similarly situated vaccinated people are exempt. Tell us about, I mean, again, you, from the legal point of view, kind of boil it down to where you see this as a violation of equal equal protection rights.
Yeah, so the policy seems to change regularly, for unknown reasons.
It's evolving, that's the word, it's evolving.
Yeah, well, and it's evolving, and the discussions that that go into how it evolves, we're not privy to. I assume they're with Prevea, who's the health provider or the advisor with this. So they seem to change all the time, but what we were upset about at the point we wrote the letter was that if they're trying to do this contact tracing, so if somebody turns up having COVID or at least testing positive for COVID,
right.
they try to find every kid who had some close contact with that person, and then they've got policies for how to handle those people. And what they were doing at that point, at least, was if the people who had contact with the person were vaccinated, then they could continue at school, but they would go into another area, or they would have to wear masks. And I think that was kind of how they were handled. But if they were unvaccinated, and again, I think vaccination status should be a private matter, but they know who's unvaccinated. If they're unvaccinated, at the time they were sent home, and they couldn't come back in until they got a negative PCR test or waited at least 10 days. And I think you had to wait several days.
Well, even there's
if you
no
got a PCR
online
test.
Option, by the way, right
no,
now,
no.
Which I'm not even in favor of online, but my point is they impose these things. So if a kid has to wait 10 days or submit to a test, that's 3 to 10 days that they're not in school. They're not. I mean, we're already at learning loss after the debacle that was online learning and all the ridiculousness of that. And that's everywhere. That's not just, I mean, that's across the board, across the nation, that problem. But then to impose a very, again, it's rather draconian, right? You can't come in for 10 days. You're going to miss 10 days worth of classes. Oh, but if you just get the shot, then you can come in.
Right. And really, you know, for us, we understand our kids will be through high school quick enough. My older boys are already through. I've got a daughter who's a senior. You know, we'll make it through this year. But there's a bigger principle at play here. And it's that we're basing these decisions on some truths, some half-truths, and some outright lies, whether you talk about the PCR test, the stats that come in, you know, the constant fear and drama we get from everybody, the safety of the vaccines. We are not hearing the truth, and you have to dig and dig and dig and use alternative search engines to even be able to find any real information. You know, these vaccines do present significant risks. There was a group of, especially to young boys, now to young boys and young girls, but we've really seen young boys take, you know, particular hammering in some places. Over 100 young boys in a school district in, I think, Ontario, all developed heart inflammation, myocarditis.
Myocarditis, yep.
We've had heart problems come up. We've had pulmonary embolisms come up. My own father went in and got a vaccine, and after his second dose of Pfizer, 3 days later, he developed pulmonary embolisms. He had never had a health issue, and he didn't have one going into it. He was tested 7 times before he got to the hospital. But do you think that shows up on the official statistics? No.
No, they try to explain it away. I mean, again, all of this. Matter of fact, the stats that they don't create. I mean, they have the info, but I mean, for example, with all the talk of the heavy spread of Delta, everything else, here's a stat I would like to see. Total number of people that have died from COVID, not they were in, you know, stage 4 cancer, already on their deathbed, contracted COVID and died, because that's another thing that they game the system with, but died of COVID. And of those, for that matter, a stat that'd be interesting to see is of the total, whatever that number is, how many of them had been fully vaccinated as well. That's a stat you won't find anywhere.
No.
Because I know, because I've been looking for it. And no. And I promise you they know, but again, they don't want it. And those are the stats that really, when you get down to it, matter, because again, where this all began was to prevent people from dying.
Absolutely. I mean, look at what's happening in Israel. Israel is essentially one big experiment. And they know it, and we know it. High vaccination rates, they're having terrible troubles there. Okay, the vaccines do not provide sterilizing immunity. So there's no reason to treat somebody with a vaccine as being somehow safer than somebody without a vaccine for other people. Now, these vaccines, I think, can provide help for the individual who gets it to keep their symptoms a little bit lower. And I think that's a good thing. But that doesn't mean that it protects people around them.
And it doesn't mean you can discriminate. We're up against the break. Jason Weed, Live Free Wisconsin. Learn more about them by sending an email to join@livefreewisconsin.com.
The Regular Joe Radio Show. News, talk, sports, WTAQ.